everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show. He's got a big smile on his face on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, February 16th, 2017. Hope the week has gone pretty darn well for you and you're looking forward. It's not too early to look forward to a weekend by the time we're at midday on Thursday. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We have, of course, our worldwide live listening. You have a couple of choices. You have my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, that kicks you over to the station's website, KVOI.com, so you can hear all of our programs, really anywhere in the world. We've got all of the shows that we have done, with a couple of exceptions over the past 6 years, are all archived, very convenient archive to use at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is open for you. If any time during the hour you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040 for your questions and comments. We're going to begin now by going to the nation's capital and speak with Southern Arizona's newest United States Representative, Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Democrat, representing probably one of the largest congressional districts in the United States. It is CD1. Congressman O'Halloran, how are you?
I'm great, Bill, and thanks for having me on the show, and hello, everybody.
Have you been able to catch any of the president's news conference that is just now wrapping up?
Just a little bit here and there, really not any substantial amount of the news conference. I know that he announced a new nominee for Labor Department, Acosta, but I don't know the background of that person yet.
It seems that the president is saying that whistleblowers are partly to blame, or are to blame, for this what has become known as the Flynn affair. Where are you on this whole issue?
Well, I think we have to find out what the truth is. I've called for an independent investigator to go in and clearly identify what happened during the campaign and what happened at the White House that Flynn supposedly, it's been known for 2 weeks that he had these conversations, and yet people were allowing him to go out and say that he did not. And I think that it's something that, his issue is against the law. The other issues we have to look into as far as during the campaign, but I want to have it done in as nonpartisan a process as possible, and that's why I'm calling for an independent investigation.
You're a former police officer. You understand these kinds of things and investigations. How serious is this, in your opinion?
I think when you have an adversary in the world like Russia, and potential deals are being made before, during campaigns, and after people get into office without the transparency that government should be providing, that it's a very serious issue. Our citizens, the people that they represent, should be able to understand and know what's going on, unless it's something of a secretive nature. And none of this appears to be something that you need a classified clearance to be able to know and understand.
Let's go to our live line. We have a caller. I believe it's Jim, our friend Jim Kelly, who is a longtime friend of our program. Hi, Jim. How are you? Are you with the congressman?
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Congressman O'Halloran, there used to be a United States Signals Intelligence Directive, number 8, that specifically forbade collection of American citizens' phone calls without FISA court approval. Do you know if the Obama administration granted FISA court approval for Mr. Flynn's phone calls to be intercepted by national intelligence?
Jim, I do not, and that's part of what an investigation would show, whether that the court was involved in it or not, and whether that end of it was legal. And that's why we as Americans deserve the transparency that should be required in this process.
All right. Thank you to Jim. 790-2040 is our live line number. How are you settling in? Perhaps I should have begun our conversation. This is the first time that we have spoken with you, Congressman, since you were sworn into office about 5 weeks ago. How is the whole process going for you living back in D.C.?
Well, it's going well, you know, besides having the office and getting a place to live and hiring all the staff and dealing with the district issues. You also have to make sure that you're ready for your committees, which I am. I'm on the Agriculture Committee and Armed Services Committee, which are both important committees for the state of Arizona. And I'm looking forward to it. And everybody describes the information flow that you have to learn as like having somebody put a fire hose in your mouth and it just comes at you. But I have found that, you know, if you just make sure you pace yourself as far as information flow and put it in the appropriate categories and organize it, that it's a lot easier that way. So I haven't been overwhelmed as some, especially those that have no legislative experience at all.
And, you know, getting back to the current situation at the White House, I would say tens of millions of Americans are looking at what's going on, and the perception is, Congressman, that this is government by chaos. Is that perception wrong?
Well, I think that I would describe it more as government by learning. I think that there's a perception within by the president and others that you know, the more you throw out and the faster you throw it out, the better it is, and that comes from an experience. This isn't a business; it is government with three equal branches of government. And, you know, we all have to be involved in the decision-making processes. So I think as time goes by here, hopefully adjustments will be made at the executive branch to be able to bring programs forward in an orderly process so that we can have debate on it in a public environment and a little bit more input into the final result.
Because there's so much that needs to be addressed by this Congress. You've got the whole issue of what happens now, what's going to replace the Affordable Health Care program, a.k.a. Obamacare. You've got a budget that is coming up. You have the Federal Aviation Administration. Some of these approvals need to be coming up, the budget. You've got a moratorium on a lot of federal agencies, including the VA. And I understand you've moved to try to at least lift the hiring freeze on the Veterans Administration.
Yes, early on, after the freeze came out, we put a letter in that clearly identified that this this freeze is counterproductive to the needs of our veterans, and it was actually, you know, we have openings for 1,400 or plus mental health therapists. We have openings for doctors and nurses that are in another 1,000 or so, and in total for really important positions that deal with our veterans, we have over 3,700 openings that need to be filled, because it's not like it's going to, the day it's filled, you still have to get people into the process, training as far as how to deal within the Veterans Administration and assigned. So there's a lot to this that takes a long time, and we shouldn't have delays like this when it comes to our veterans.
There's been quite a dust-up over your colleague in Congress, Congresswoman McSally, about whether or not she is going to hold an open forum with the public to talk with her in a town hall format. She has called that political theater in many ways and political ambushes. How do you feel about the whole process of open meetings and in a town hall setting, Congressman?
Well, I have no problem with them, you know, but they need to be well organized, and I think that they should be on subject matter and not a broad. So pick two subjects that are important right now and being discussed in Congress and talk about that in a debate process, because we can find out. I had office hours a week ago, and I sat in my office and I had dozens and dozens and dozens of people come in, sometimes groups of eight, sometimes groups of 20, and talk about specific issues that those groups had, and had a better opportunity to talk to them at length about those issues. And instead of a quick back and forth in a larger environment. But when we have to educate the public and get information out to them and field their questions on specific issues that are important to the larger population in our country, then I think it's important that we are able to do that in that environment. I just ask people to be respectful of other Americans and their right to be able to have their voice heard also in that environment.
Are you going to be holding a town hall meeting?
Probably in March. In April we'll have a couple. Right now we do not have anything else scheduled in this month. We're just getting, they require a little bit more lead time to schedule and next month we're here almost every day during the week. And then in April, we're back in the districts for two straight weeks. And so I just got done talking with my chief of staff to start to develop that process when we're there for the two-week period.
All right, let's take a break right here. It's 12:15 exactly, actually 12:16 exactly on this Thursday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. The congressman will stick around with us for another segment, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, urging me to do and tell you, and I gladly do so, about their wonderful area of the southwestern United States. Just give it a try. 3-hour drive approximately over to Silver City. It's a great historic town to visit. Some great places to not only shop, but to eat. Some fine restaurants have been written up actually in the New York Times. The full listing of things to do and places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back on Buckmaster.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Tucson Mayor Jonathan Rothschild. Our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star and Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and we're always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A quick shout out to our newest sponsor, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Mardi Gras is coming up. Yes, so they're going to have a big celebration over at the Creole Kitchen, Sazerac, on Monday. That's a week from Monday, the 27th and 28th. Of course, Mardi Gras is on Tuesday the 28th, so check it out over at Sazerac, a jazz band to be performing 6 to 10 Tuesday evening to continue the Mardi Gras celebration at St. Philip's Plaza. Let's go back now to the nation's capital. Congressman Tom O'Halloran, representing Arizona's 1st Congressional District, is with us on the live line. And Congressman, one of the big issues, it doesn't get a lot of play here in southern Arizona, but your district is huge, going all the way up to northern Arizona, and that includes the Navajo Generating Station. And there's been some news about the future of that station. Can you share with our listeners what's going on?
Well, that station is part of our grid, obviously, in the southwestern United States. Salt River Project is the managing partner of that complex, and back in December, they announced that they and their other partners were thinking of pulling out of the station and closing it down and decommissioning it. It's a station that does already fall into the standards that the EPA is seeking, so it's made its reduction agreement already. But the price of natural gas has been so low that it was more cost-effective to buy gas on the spot market than it has been to generate it out of Navajo Generation Station. So they're only working at about a 60% level. And a lot of that generation goes to moving CAP water down the canal to are the municipalities, both in Tucson and Phoenix, and also some of the tribes that have had water settlement agreements. So when I found that out, I came to Washington in between Christmas and New Year's to start meeting with SRP and some of our research staff and others to determine what I needed to do to help the process along. I couldn't get involved in the individual negotiations because it is a private contractual obligation. But we were able to meet with all the parties involved over the course of the last month and a half. And the end result has been that SRP announced the other day that they will keep the Navajo Generation Station open until the end of 2019. During that time, they and the Bureau of Reclamation, which is also part owner of the station because of the Central Arizona Project, will look at alternatives and see what pricing is doing at that point in time. And I've asked the Bureau of Reclamation to do further studies, and they have also indicated that they will put a stakeholder group together, which will be meeting shortly, that we will be involved in from my office, so that we can have a good projection moving out into the future whether that generation plant is going to be needed for if we do have additional growth in the Southwest, or when we do have additional growth in the Southwest. And also how we can replace that generation with renewables, and how long that would take, and of course the pricing issues associated with that.
And of course, that's a big employer, isn't it, for Northern Arizona?
Well, that's one of the big issues. It's one of the bigger and best employers in Northern Arizona. A tremendous amount of 80% of the workforce is either is a Navajo, and there's a mine, coal mine, up there that produces the coal for the generation plant, and that's the Hopi. 80% of their budget comes from that mine because it's on their land, and they get royalties off it, and so it's obviously a critical element in the economy of Navajo, Hopi, the two counties, Coconino and Navajo County, and also Page, Arizona.
So you have this huge district stretching from the Oro Valley area all the way up to the Utah border, pretty much. How do you structure now your constituent services? Do you have now three offices, or how is that working?
Well, we're similar to what Anchor Patrick had. We're in Flagstaff and Casa Grande for our two major offices. We have an office in Oro Valley. We're going to have an office up in the Sholo area, and then we'll have mobile offices that will have people that go out and meet at a predetermined office location that we'll put together so that we can do that. And then we're putting in a number of our locations video conferencing. So if the chambers are working on projects for cities or towns, and we're working in conjunction with them, they can also have input into our district staff and our staff back here in Washington so that we can speed up the projects and be able to stay on top of things a little bit more.
I mean, you know about governing. You spent, you were a leader in the Arizona legislature. How many years were you in Phoenix?
Oh, it felt like a lot longer than eight, but it was eight years.
So, I mean, you're no stranger to governing, and it's interesting to think about here you are now after the time in Phoenix. Do you see similarities with what's going on in D.C., or what are some of your thoughts quickly on that, please?
Well, I see some similarities, but just because of the scale, the amount of information, you know, it's a lot different dealing like in the House with 60 people in Arizona versus 435 here. And also the process is much different as far as, I believe, transparency to our public and trying to push bills through at without enough debate on them. So hopefully as we get these committees up and going now, we'll have a lot more public debate. But we've been, right now, been voting on bills from the last session, which the 50-some of us that are new have been looking at and saying, you know, why is this bill coming before us? We're the 115th Congress. It should be coming back to us because it expired during the last session.
Are you flying coach, I assume, when you...
Oh, you better believe it.
when you return.
Nobody's going to find me in first class. And you know, I think that even if I could afford to fly first class with my own pocket, I don't think that presents a very good image for the public.
All right, Congressman O'Halloran, thank you very much for the update. And if folks want to get a hold of you, probably the best way here in Southern Arizona would be through your Oro Valley office, right?
Or Casa Grande,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Congressman Tom O'Halloran, his first visit with us, really, extensive visit since being sworn into office as Southern Arizona's newest congressional representative. It is coming up on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. A-Rod is in the house. Alex Rodriguez. No, not the famous baseball player, but a guy who's very famous here in Southern Arizona. We'll talk about the tech console right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, what could possibly top this party?
Wait, you're kidding me, aren't you? The Tucson Festival of Books, March 11th through 12th on the beautiful U of A campus. The Tucson Festival of Books is a literary extravaganza, attracting over 100,000 book lovers, and it's all free. There's something nearly for everyone. Family activities, culinary delights, entertainment, author presentations, book signings, Science City. Go to TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. May I suggest, if you're in the market for anything to do with green things for your nursery at home, you're looking for roses, looking for geraniums, spring flowers, please pay a visit to Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They will treat you right, I guarantee. These people at Green Things are so knowledgeable. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their fine website. Say hello to Jan and Jack, the owners, and tell them that Bill Buckmaster sent you over to Green Things. Let's welcome now Alex Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez, long time Southern Arizonan who has been very active in so many different arenas in this area. He was a one-time United States congressional candidate. He was a former president of the TUSD governing board, was an executive at Raytheon Missile Systems, and now he has settled very nicely. Good to see you, Alex.
Bill, it's great to be
giving
with you.
The glowing introduction, full-blown introduction.
Are you saying I can't hold a job?
No, I am not, but I'm saying you have settled in over now the last couple of years.
Yes, and risen
through the ranks with the Arizona Tech Council, and you are now vice president, with your major emphasis being on Southern Arizona.
That is correct, Bill, and we're having a ton of fun helping shape the economy of the future, the technology and innovation agenda.
Are we making progress in getting the message to our elected representatives that, hey, tech is big time here in Arizona?
You know, we are. We are, and certainly working in the political arena and helping shape public policy that impacts jobs at the end of the day and job growth in our region and household income. We do work with elected officials at the state, federal and local levels, and I'm really enjoying it. People are incredibly receptive to our work, in part because we represent the voices of over 800 organizations from as far south as the border all the way up to Flagstaff and across the state, Bill. So we have been able to impact some public policies that help support the technology sector in the state of Arizona, and it's a lot of fun.
What is this angel tax credit?
The Angel Investment Tax Credit is actually a program that was launched back in 2006 that was incredibly helpful, Bill, in helping fix the problem of a lack of access to capital for a new business or for expansion or for you and I might have a great new idea for a technology product that could go all over the world, but then we're not maybe bankable or don't have access to the capital it requires to launch the company. Mm-hmm. And so the Angel Investment Tax Credit essentially incents and incentivizes money to come into and get off the into the playing field, as I like to say. It's an incentive that helps individual investors take risky bets on early stage companies.
And is that getting some momentum at the legislature?
It is. So the program was very successful. It was a $20 million program when it was initially appropriated. Mm-hmm. And in 2014, the Arizona legislature authorized the program through 2021. However, it hasn't been recapitalized until hopefully this legislative session. Appears like we will have better success. So far, the recapitalization authorization was voted out of committee in the Arizona Senate, out of the Finance Committee. And so it's making its way through the process, Bill, and we're optimistic.
I know you're working with the optics industry, which is still a very and a growing optics. They have a very strong, robust industry, especially here in southern Arizona. They're very concerned about the night skies, often referred to as keeping our skies dark over southern Arizona. How's that going?
Yes, actually, looks like a breakthrough there so far. Essentially, the Arizona Dark Skies community, the astronomy labs across the state, impact the state with well over $250 million in economic activity. Well, this is being threatened in part, leave it to technology, because the billboards, the billboard industry, the outdoor industry, has now added lighting that you see off of the highways in urban areas in Phoenix and Tucson. Well, they want to be able to expand doing so. But the Arizona Optics Industry Association last year approached us for support on this, as well as the astronomy community. And we were able to block legislation at that point that would have impaired the dark skies. And this year, what we, the Tech Council, tried to help do is to work with both sides to come up with a compromise.
In other words, maybe changing the particular type of lighting that is used?
Yes, the lighting and the illumination factors gets pretty technical and scientific in terms of how much light can be emitted.
Right.
So it doesn't cause so-called pollution, light pollution.
But you're trying to get everybody on the same page to work out a compromise.
Yes, and so far there's a bill, Senate Bill 1114. We're grateful to Senator Borelli and Senator Steve Smith's leadership that have crafted a solution, essentially, that both sides are willing to live with.
What is this Women in the Workforce event that you guys are sponsoring?
Well, it's our response to the gap and the serious issue around...
You guys and ladies are sponsoring it.
Across the country, Bill, and certainly in Arizona, there's... only under 30% of women in technology roles are in management roles to begin with. And so...
Wow, it's that not very... That's a low percentage.
It's a low percentage. Yeah. And the future of America is based on innovation and technology. And so we want to help see an improvement in that number and also inspire the next generation. So the Tech Council launched the Women in the Workforce. It's composed of committee members. And on March 7th, Lisa Lavallo, Vice President for Cox Communications, will share her thought leadership on what we can do to inspire the young ones from K-12 up through their professional lives to have more women represented across the technology landscape.
Where is that event going to take place?
At the Sheraton on Grant, Tucson Sheraton.
Mm-hmm. And that's open to the public?
It is, and people can register on our website at aztechcouncil.org.
You mentioned 800 or so businesses that are associated with technology. That's huge in Arizona. Is that growing?
Bill, what I'm amazed at is the number of businesses that are still not yet involved that are actually impacting the technology agenda, not only here in Tucson and Phoenix across the state, but globally out of Arizona.
So there's 800 members.
Yes.
But what is the potential there?
It's very significant. I would love to see a good 200-300 more in Tucson alone be active with us, because in a sense, we are a force for economic prosperity, and as I like to tell our team, a force for good.
Mm-hmm. So there are some that are not on board, and you feel that these businesses would have an advantage by coming into the fold.
Yes,
and
no question
would the,
about
what
it.
Would the advantage be?
The value proposition is very strong, namely from business development to professional development to public policy advocacy to community engagement to world-class talent engagement. As you know, we work vigorously with the K-12 system and JTED, as well as with the post-secondary community from all the Pima, all the community colleges, including here. I do a lot of work with Pima College, as well as the universities across the state.
How is JTUD's funding looking?
The
Joint Technical Education District.
Yes. We were thankful for the Arizona legislature last year recapitalizing $29 million. And what we hope would help in by the end of this legislative session is that they finish the job by funding the technology programs at the ninth grade level.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, JTUD's dropout rate is a lot less than the general population. And the reason why is because the young ones at an early age, you capture their interest and they stick around. And on day one, once they hit the workforce, they have skills that help pay the bills.
Mm. Alex Rodriguez, always a pleasure. And there are a couple of items I didn't mention on his resume. This guy, Ray, has the most amazing resume. Graduate of Harvard. We didn't even talk about your military career. I mean, weren't you like a captain or something in the Army? Huh?
Bill, you're much too kind, and it's a privilege to be with you as always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alex Rodriguez from the Arizona Tech Council. For more information, go to the aztechcouncil.org. Did I get that right, Alex?
That's correct. aztechcouncil.org.
Thank you. Be right back.
Five Star is going greener. In our efforts to stay environmentally friendly, we are going paperless. When you call us, you give us your name, your phone number, and your address, and your email address. You can now get your invoices by email, your statements, your receipts, and even appointment reminders. So call Five Star Termite and Pest Control at 886-0045 and help us save the trees.
We know what bugs you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe.
Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. By the way, tomorrow our Friday Focus interview will be with the mayor. Jonathan Rothschild will be here on the Buckmaster Show, and there is lots to talk about. Tucson environmental consultant John Durham had an idea for a book, and that idea has really blossomed. I think that would be appropriate, speaking of succulents and cacti, Mr.
Absolutely.
Durham. John, good to see you. John Durham, really his idea, and I believe your buddy Thomas... Yeah.
Thomas Stott.
Yeah, the two of you kind of came up with this idea for a... there had been other field guides to cacti and other succulents of Arizona, but they were quite out of date, I understand.
Absolutely. First of all, let me say it was Thomas Stott's original idea.
Okay.
We worked together for SWCA Environmental. We spent an inordinate amount of time in the field together, and he dreamt up this idea that we were in need of a field guide for cactus and succulents only for Arizona, something comprehensive, not a side-of-the-road kind of field guide, but something that really got all the species listed. And Lyman Benson, of course, he had finished his Cacti of Arizona almost 30 years prior. That was the last edition that was printed. And
it'd been 30 years?
30 years. So you can imagine there was some things outdated, some things added, and with the advent of DNA and a lot more field work here in the Sonoran especially, it was time for an updating.
Well, my next question to you may seem like it has an obvious answer when I ask you about cacti in Arizona, but maybe it's not as easy as that. I mean, are we kind of the – my question is, are we the center of the universe, at least in the United States, maybe for North America, for the variety of cacti and succulents?
No, actually, Texas has more.
See, there you go. I thought the answer was going to be real obvious. I thought, oh, yeah, Arizona, we're the cacti capital. So you're saying actually Texas.
Yeah, Texas has more species than us. And however, if you're talking about Arizona, I would say as far as the center of cacti study, Tucson links, they're right up there because when we came up with the idea of the book, we got our four authors together, and of course, this is all through the Tucson Cactus and Succulent
One of them
Society.
Is one of my buddies, David Yetman.
David Yetman, yeah. He was he wrote the foreword to the book. And that's part of the story. We came up with it, and of course, we were board members, and we had to go to the board and ask for a lot of money to get the book published. And we suddenly had a we started out with the six of us, Thomas and I, and our four authors, and suddenly we had an entire village helping us, people like David Yetman, Mark Dimmitt, Mark Baker, Wendy Hodgson. He had all these people, and all volunteer, all unpaid, all saying, can we help you put this together? So it was really a great thing.
It's really a thriving group that you have at the Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society.
Yeah, we had 1,100 members.
Wow.
And so it's pretty large. And what sets us aside from – really, we're a club of hobbyists. But what sets us aside is the size of the club and also our what some of your listeners might be familiar with is the Cactus Rescue Program. We rescue native cacti from being bulldozed, and we work with all sorts of industry, and we have the city, the county, and a lot of developers will call us up, and we go
in.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, how does that work? What's the chronology and the timetable? You got a developer who is going to blade some land, so do they know to call you or someone at the society before the work is done?
Well, most do. I mean,
let's hope all do. I would like to have all of them do that.
There are some, there's never enough.
No.
But if the city or the county are going to blade or widen a road or build a solar array, they know to call us. And I would say this to your listeners, if you see some development going on, you might suggest or give us a call and point them our direction. It's something we've developed. We've rescued over 80,000 native plants in the last 15 years. So it's been ongoing for quite some time. I've been here 10 years, and that's when I started.
Is it against the law, John Durham, to move a saguaro cactus or to blade a saguaro cactus?
Well, that's one of those catch-22s, you know? it is not for a individual owner of your house. You can move plants all around and you can destroy a plant because sometimes saguaros are in danger of falling mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. And things like that. That is a federally protected species. That said, mm-hmm. a developer would have to pay for and replace, but they can knock down that plant.
Hmm.
It's one of those, being in the environmental
oh boy.
Field, you have some...
That brings tears to our
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And so legally, I know a lot of people will call us up going, oh my gosh, there's a development going in and they just bulldozed everything. Well, if they bought that land, they have the legal right to do that.
So when you move a lot of these or save these cacti and other succulents, where do they go?
Well, what people might know us from is our rescued cactus sale, the Amphi holding site. Is where we take these plants, and we offer them up at a very reasonable price, as most people know. It's quite a lot of fun. Our last sale, we sold almost 300 barrel cactus.
Mm.
And we have one coming up on March the 19th. Mm-hmm. And people can go to our website, TucsonCactus.org, and see when these sales are going on. And there's a lot of information about growing and looking at cactus and club information, too.
Cacti native to North America? Is that the way that works? Or are succulents? I know that Africa has a lot of cactus.
Well, you have succulents.
Succulents.
Now, cactus,
and again, the difference
again.
Between a succulent and a cactus.
Well, cactus is a succulent, but not all succulents are cactus,
yes.
As they will tell you.
Yes.
But there's old world plants, there's new world plants. Cacti are here in the new world, mm-hmm. and succulents are in the old world.
Mm-hmm.
But there are succulents also in the new world.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no cacti in the old world.
How is this, and I know a lot of people get really upset when you talk about climate and the change, but I think most people realize it has been getting warmer, a lot warmer here in Tucson over the last 10 years, that we've had a really hot decade.
Yeah.
How is that affecting our native plants?
Well, cacti, like a lot of plants, they're susceptible to drought. And you'll see die-off of plants when they don't get enough water, where that weather system is disturbed and there's a cycle of either heavy rain or no rain. You can see some effect on the cacti. Global warming, you can see plants that never grew in one spot suddenly slowly creeping in. Organ pipe is a good example of that.
The Organ Pipe is National Monument.
Yeah, and as David Yetman will tell you, those are slowly creeping north.
Mm. How often do plants, the cacti, need to be watered in the wintertime? I have heard varying estimates on this.
If you've got a plant outside and it's in the ground,
mm-hmm.
you let Mother Nature water it during the winter.
What about in a pot?
Depending on how porous your soil is and how warm of a winter, if you can call our winter this year, you need to give it a dash of water. They will take water.
All right, John Durham, and the book is The Field Guide to Cacti and Other Succulents of Arizona. Will you be at, this is the new edition, right?
Right.
And a second edition, and will you be at the book festival?
No, this will be, we were at the last two book festivals. In fact, the first time I was here, we were just going in with our first
promoting
edition.
Promoting that, the first edition and in 2015.
In 2015, yep. We had 2,600 copies, and that was an awful lot of books to us. And mm-hmm. a year and a half later, we suddenly needed to get more books, so we put the second edition together.
Oh, it's beautifully done. Thank you so much for bringing the second edition. The pictures alone, beautiful photography. Different folks contributed the photography?
Yeah, we have all club members, all here from Tucson,
a great job.
This edition happens to have 25 new photos.
Wow. Beautiful stuff. Where can we get the book?
Well, we can get the book. The second edition's available at Antigone Books right downtown. Mm-hmm. They're one of our hometown favorites.
Local favorite.
This year, we're at the Western National Parks. We are at Saguaro West, Saguaro East, and the office in Oro Valley and mm-hmm. Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument.
Very compatible locations.
And also out at the Desert Museum.
Perfect. John, I got to go. John Durham, the book is Field Guide to Cacti and Other Succulents of Arizona. Thank you, sir, for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. The Talking Culture Show, 9 to 10. And then we'll have the mayor with us on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow at 12:04. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.